More reflections on Prince. A report on an autopsy may come as soon as this afternoon in Minnesota. Last night, tributes poured in, including on Broadway, Jennifer Hudson and the cast of The Color Purple paying tribute after their performance. Let's bring in Turay, author of the book I Would Die For You, Why Prince Became an Icon. By the way, we'll post that, Jennifer Hudson, at hearnow.org. Turay, how are you doing today, the day after? Has it sunk in?
I'm numb, and I'm confused as to why this happened, and I'm heartbroken because, you know, he wasn't done. Mm. He was still touring. He was just in Atlanta last week, I think. He was still planning. He was still in the mix, trying to do stuff. He had not retired. To think about, you know, that he had more to say, you know, it's really sad.
Heartbreaking. Never not relevant. We'll talk about, though, how he started, because you made the observation in your book that he was the perfect older brother for a waiting, latchkey generation. What did you mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the things that that link generations really are sort of psychographic in terms of what are the events, what are the happenstances that, you know, the environment that links a generation. It doesn't really matter that, you know, I was born within the parameters of Generation X, right, between 1965 and 1982, right? That's not the most important thing. But what happened in that period, right? And one of the things that happened to Generation X is that our parents experience a far higher level of divorce than we'd ever seen before, right? Mm-hmm. There were a lot of children in Generation X who had more free time and less parental supervision than the baby boomers had had.
And here comes this, as you say, older brother.
Yeah, and he experienced that, and he was an interesting influence on those of us who had more time than any generation before.
Well, also talk about him as a black man in a largely white industry. It seems to me there are two phases. You talk about when he was first going into the industry, there was literally an urban section on record labels, and
he said, right.
You know, that's not for me.
Yeah, that's right. He refused to be ghettoized, you know, or shoehorned into the urban section, the black section, you know. And when he comes along, MTV was playing videos, and they were not playing black videos, right? They're not playing videos by black artists. And Prince and Michael Jackson were two of the very first artists who were able to break through that. And partly because the music was so great, but partly on Prince's part because he made this great pop rock sound that was undeniable even for MTV.
Yeah, largely white MTV. Look, yesterday our wonderful guest Anthony Valadez, the DJ at KCRW, broke down when he spoke of Prince's role as a black man, taking stands like that, but also later in the 1990s. I mean, the contractual fight with Warner Brothers. Rolling Stone ranks it as the fourth boldest career move in rock history. Apparently, Prince wanted to produce more records. He wanted to own his masters. The record company wouldn't let him. He started to appear in public with the word slave.
Yeah. And around that time, he changes from, you know, the name Prince to the unpronounceable symbol, which a lot of people mocked because they didn't understand that all of this was about emancipation, and perhaps using the word slave was a bit much, but it was about emancipation from the record labels that he felt had too much control over him and other artists. And on that score, he's absolutely right.
Well, in 2014, he got a landmark deal with Warners, and he got control over his back catalog, so he won, you know, just recently. But one last aspect that hasn't been touched on, but you do in your book, you talk to biblical scholars. Now, I can hear people already skeptical of the response to Prince's death saying, oh, this is going too far. But I don't know. Some of us believe that music of any kind is a portal to spirituality.
Well, I mean, his music was extremely spiritual. This was some of the central music in Prince's career. I mean, sometimes it shows in April is about a person named Christopher Tracy, Christ, who goes to heaven, and he longs to see this person again. And of course, we know who supposedly historically died in April, Christ. Mm-hmm. So, he has all these sorts of moments in these songs when he's talking about God, when he's talking about Jesus, when he's positing himself as a Jesus figure. I mean, I heard a story about a gig in Tokyo where they were, waiting to go on, and it was raining really hard, and they thought they wouldn't be able to do the show, and somebody said, well, Prince will stop the rain.
That's Touré, author of the book I Would Die for You, Why Prince Became an Icon. Touré, thank you.
Thank you, Robin. Always nice to talk to you.